All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And we'll read the story of the wise men, but I want to preach on Herod this morning. I'll show you some things about King Herod from this second chapter of Matthew. Today is my dad's 95th birthday. Yeah, 95 years old. My sister called Tuesday night and laid the old guilt trip on me. You know, she is so good at that. And you know, it would really be good if Dad's three children could be there for on Friday for his birthday, which is today. And I said, well, which three are you talking about? And yeah, I got the same reaction from her. And after work on Thursday. Well, it wasn't quite that late, but I left about 3, I think. And I got out to Columbus, Ohio, about 10 o'clock, something like that. And then the next morning, of course, he goes to bed at 8:30. And so the next morning when he got up, all three of us were there. And so that was exciting for him. And so then I had things to do yesterday, so I had to get in a car Friday evening and come home. So if you go by and see my car outside, it looks like I've been through a blizzard. That's because I went through a blizzard. All right? I left and... Man, was it snowing out in the mountains, just absolutely terrible. Anyway, the Lord's good. I made it home. Yeah, I can't see this morning, but I'm exhausted. But other than that, it was a great trip, and I'm glad I went. All right, Matthew 2. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack right in front of you. Feel free to use it and follow along as I read the scripture. And I'm going to read several verses here, so let's read the entire story down to verse 15. Beginning in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So that prophet was Micah in the Old Testament. Chapter 5 and verse 2 is the exact verse. Verse 7, "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men," so he got rid of the priests and the scribes now that he got what he needed, and he now calls to the wise men and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Now that was a lie. Verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Do you see that? Young child was, not infant, not baby, but young child. So a young child is not an infant baby. All right, so keep that in mind. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the manger, that's not what it says, is it? When they came into the what? Into the house, exactly right. When they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And by the way, not baby, young child. And fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed into Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, and that prophet is Hosea, which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. I want to speak to you this morning on Herod's inquiry. Herod's inquiry. Let's pray, and then we'll ask the Lord to help and end the message. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you so much for this amazing 15 verses in the Bible that explain to us so many tremendous things. And Father, I pray that we will see your hand at work. I pray that we will realize that no matter what the mindset of man is, your will be done perfectly. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to just have a better understanding of how you brought your son into this world and protected him so that he could die on the cross and pay the penalty for our sin. So bless now and speak to our hearts today, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I suppose everyone knows the Bible story of the wise men coming from the east bearing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. In driving around during Christmas time and just noticing manger scenes in people's yards and in church lawns and all that, you'll almost always see in the manger scenes three wise men. They're always standing together. Three wise men. One will have gold, and one will have silver, and one or myrrh, and one will have frankincense. So three wise men. Well, I hate to burst bubbles, but there is no way that three men are going to come from all the way over in Babylon, all the way over to Jerusalem by themselves. Just three men. No, it would have been a massive herd of people and camels and guards and protection who came with those wise men. Three was the number of the gifts. But make no mistake about it, this was a large entourage that that came looking for the Messiah. Now, who were these men? Well, most folks think that they were the highly educated, scholarly men of Chaldean descent. Babylon came out of the Chaldean people. All right, the Chaldeans were the ancient people that lived in that land, and so these Chaldeans were educators. They were scientists. They studied the heavens. They studied the stars. They mapped all the heavens. They were brilliant people who did some amazing work back long time ago that has astounded people even today. Well, these men were seeking, honestly, I believe, seeking to the king of the Jews. They were honestly looking and seeking for the Jewish Messiah, the one whom they proclaimed was born king of the Jews. Now, when they got into Jerusalem, they went straight to the palace of King Herod. Now, why did they go there? Well, because they figured, they were royalty themselves. And so here they come into town with their big entourage and probably their camels all decorated and royal guards around them and protection. And it would have been an amazing thing to see this entourage come pulling into Jerusalem. And they went right straight to the palace of Herod and demanded a meeting with King Herod, which, of course, being royalty, they would have gotten without complaint. And so here they are looking for the king of the Jews. Now, when they ask King Herod, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Herod's ears perked up. The reason was because Herod was the king of the Jews. And so if somebody with royalty in their blood and more money than they could count shows up in a big entourage and says, where's the king of the Jews? Why, Herod is going to be tweaked by that automatically. Now, you might wonder, well, Pastor, how did those men know anything at all about the coming of the Jewish Messiah? How did they know about the king of the Jews? Well, the answer to that question takes us back into 586 B.C. And 586 was when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians came into Jerusalem to conquer and pillage and destroy the city and its protective walls. They came and breached the walls, stole everything they could get their hands on, and took 10,000 plus young people back to Babylon with them. All right, that is a period of time that was of great distress to the Jews, to the people of Israel, because they lost their nation. They lost their capital city. They lost their heritage on that day. And 10,000 plus of the wisest and the most intelligent and the most bountiful, they were all taken back to Babylon, where they were put into service to service the people of Nebuchadnezzar's household. They were educated there. They were strengthened there. They were nurtured there, and they were loved and appreciated for the most part, by the people because of all their contributions that they made. And so in 586, when all those 10,000 plus were taken to Jerusalem, naturally they would have taken their scriptures with them. And so these Chaldeans, these wise men, would have been all over those sacred scriptures. They would have learned the Hebrew language. They would have studied those. They would have brought folks in who understood the language, and they would have learned everything they could about what was in these Old Testament scriptures. That's just the kind of people they were. And so that's how they knew. They knew because they had read the sacred Jewish scriptures and learned the plan that God had to send the Messiah into this world. Now, there is no doubt, there is record of the fact that the scriptures were taken back to Babylon, and the Chaldean scholars would have read and studied those scriptures from the top to the bottom. Now, I am not sure what scriptures they had, but they had the Old Testament scriptures. Whether they just did not understand Micah 5:2, I don't know. Was Micah, the book of Micah, not in the text that they had? I do not know. Technically, I was not there. John, do you remember reading anything about that? Okay. And so 586 B.C., that's 2,500 and some years ago. And so I guess John would be about the only one around here that would know anything about that. But point is, they did not understand from the scriptures where the Messiah was to be born. Now, the scripture's clear about that. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be least among the princes of Judah, yet out of thee a governor shall come. And so when Herod heard this, he said, and remember now, the wise men, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And so Herod sends them out and then calls in the priests and scribes and all the PhDs and says to them, where do your scriptures tell us that the Messiah is to be born? And they said that he is to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David, the place where David was born. Every time I have ever been over in the Holy Land and been to Bethlehem, I will stand in that square and just look out from beyond the church there, where underneath are the caves where they believe that the Lord was born. And And every time I've been there, I just stand and look down those mountains and look out towards Jordan, and you can see down to where the Jordan River dumps into the Dead Sea. And in my mind, many times I have stood there and pictured David watching over his father's sheep out on those old rugged hills called the Shepherd's Fields. But the wise men had no idea where the king of the Jews would be born, so they came and asked King Herod. Now, did they think King Herod would know? Well, evidently they did. He was the guy that they came to ask. So Herod, though we find out, did not know. So he called for help, and these men came and told him where Christ would be born, in Bethlehem. Remember, in Hebrew, the word Beth means house, and lechem is bread. So the one who is the bread of life was born in the house of bread. That makes sense, doesn't it? Sure it does. And that's where our Savior was born. So they come to Herod, and Herod then says to these wise men, well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And so the wise men are standing there, and they get ready to turn and go. They have no obligation to King Herod, so they turn to go, and Herod stops them. And he says, wait a minute now. He said, you boys go and search diligently. Search with all your might. Search with all your heart. And when you have found the newborn king, then you come and tell me, because I want to go and worship him also. Wink, wink, nod, nod. All right? He had no intentions of going to worship the Messiah. What he was going to do was slaughter the Messiah. You see, he was the king, and he certainly didn't want a threat to his kingdom. So the ruthless King Herod had no intentions of worshiping the Lord, but instead had every intention in killing the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 16. I did not read this a moment ago, but I'll read it now. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. He was angry and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof. In other words, all the little villages around. When you see coast, it's not talking about an ocean or a seacoast or anything like that. No, it's just all the areas around the little villages. He said 2 years old and under. So Herod sought to get rid of all the children under 2 years of age, hoping to wipe out the threat to his throne. Now, notice that the wise men had asked Herod where this special king would be born, and they basically wanted to know if Herod could help them. Well, of course, this reprobate had no idea about a king. He didn't have any understanding of it. You see, he was the king in Israel. So a new king would have been a threat to his rule. So they hoped that Herod would find, that the wise men would find out from Herod where he was born, and then they could go and worship him, and then they would come back and tell Herod. But the Lord said, no, we're not having that. And he sent them on back to Babylon as soon as it was all done. Now, that's the story. So what I think, and this is just my opinion, all right, and opinions are like noses, everybody has one, but this is my opinion. Look at your Bible, please, in verse 9. So when the wise men came and followed the star that went before them, look at verse 9. They followed it till it came and stood over where the young child was. You see that? Not infant, not baby. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And then in verse 11, when they were come into the house. So where did Joseph and Mary live? They lived in Nazareth, which was north of Jerusalem. All right? Bethlehem is down south in Judah, down below, just a few miles, about 3 miles below Jerusalem. And so when the wise men came out, no doubt they were headed down to Jerusalem, but the star appeared and led them north. Led them to Nazareth to go in where the young child was. My personal opinion is that the Lord Jesus was probably about 2 years of age. That's why Herod wanted to murder all the young children in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under. You see what I'm saying? And so when you see the wise men in a nativity scene, you probably ought to put them on the other side of the room, all right? Because I think on the night that Christ was born, that's when the star appeared to the wise men and started leading them. It would have taken with that big entourage about 2 years to get down to Jerusalem and find where the star led them to the Messiah. Amazing, isn't it? You say, well, I've read that all my life. Never thought of that. Well, now you know. All right? Now you know. And so it puts a whole new twist on the wise men, doesn't it? Yes, it does. All right, now, Herod, let me give you a couple quick things. First of all, I want you to notice King Herod's sycophants. You see, in verse 4, when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, those were those who were in sync with him. He called in those whom he had a confidence in, that they knew the scriptures. He didn't know them. He didn't know where the Messiah would be born. But notice, please, that this wicked king had these religious leaders as sycophants. I mean, you can be sure these religious Jews would have kowtowed all over King Herod so that they could stay in his good graces. You see, he could shut them down if he wanted to. And look at your scriptures here for just a moment. Look at verse 3. It says that when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And then in verse 4, he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He gathered all of them together. He did not know, but yet he gathered everybody in together. Now, notice this, folks. Here's something that I see out of this. You can be sure that these religious Jews had in mind pleasing King Herod. They felt like he recognized them. He saw them as important, as needed, as necessary. He gave validity to their existence. And man, they jumped on that opportunity as quick as they possibly could. And of course, realize this, folks, those religious leaders despised King Herod. They did not like Herod. They despised King Herod. They saw him as an intruder. He was appointed by Rome. He was not, in their eyes, he was not their king. No way. They hated him. But yet, notice how they come together for the purpose of accomplishing one thing, and that's the devil's work, to murder the Son of God. Isn't it amazing how often the most wicked folks work together to do all they can to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel? Isn't that amazing? I've never understood why these men were just so anxious to come and kowtow to King Herod. But, you know, that's how the devil operates, isn't it? There are many other instances where folks who would be naturally enemies come together in an effort to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a couple of examples of that. The Pharisees would come and work together with the Sadducees. Well, you talk about two groups of people that despised one another. It was those two groups. They literally despised one another. The Sadducees were the liberals of the day. And they hated the Pharisees, who were the hypocrites of the day. All right? They despised them. And vice versa. I mean, it went both ways. But yet, we see them coming together often in the Scripture. Why? To destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the devil can make strange friends get together for a common cause. And there are other instances there. These two factions normally that hated one another, yet worked together for a common cause. And our world has always had religionists who were more concerned with the politics of religion than with the truth. It's always been that way. There have always been preachers more concerned with political clout than they are with spiritual clout. This desire for being important and for having your name on the marquee and for being loved and applauded by the people, I mean, this has always gone on. Multiplied hundreds and thousands of times, this has gone on. Take your Bible, hold your place here, but go over to the Gospel of John chapter 12 for just a moment. Let me read to you a couple of verses here of something that the Lord Jesus said. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. All right, are you there? Look at verse 43, please. Look at verse 43. Well, let's go back to 42. It says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." And here is why. "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." You know, we've always had that element, haven't we? Folks, it would rather be men pleasers than truth pleasers. Yeah, we've always had that. That's not anything new. It was going on back in our Lord's day, and lo and behold, it still goes on today. And John described these men to a T. I mean, just to a T. We are told that many of the chief rulers, these are religious rulers now, they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, how could you not follow the Lord Jesus around and watch those miracles that he performed, all those thousands upon thousands of people that he healed with just the touch of his hand? How could you watch all that and not believe in him? How could you not? But they did not confess him. In other words, they did not stand up and say, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah." You say, well, why didn't they confess that? They'd have been kicked out of the synagogue. Well, what would have been so bad about that? Well, they would have lost their prestige. They would have lost their pension. Probably. They would have lost their recognition. They would have lost their authority over the people. You see, they would have just become like a Peter, James, or John had they confessed that they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? See the point? So our world has always had these folks. And John lets us know that they were, that they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, how about that explanation in verse 43? How about that? Isn't that amazing? There are simply scads of preachers and pastors and evangelists and church leaders who fit right in to this mold. I'm going to tell you, folks, all that does not move me a bit. I do not care to be recognized by anybody except the Lord Jesus Christ and you. Nobody else. If they preferred Christ, they should have stood up. They should have stood up. They should have had the courage and the strength to stand up for the truth, but they just could not bring themselves to do it. I can just imagine how honored, how proud these fellows would have been with being invited into Herod's palace to give Herod spiritual advice. You know, I can imagine these priests and these chief rulers, they went running out of Herod's house, got on Facebook and adjusted their resume and put spiritual advisor to King Herod. Yeah, can't you see that? Oh, standing there tall and strong. I was invited to the palace of Herod recently, and we gave spiritual advice to Herod. Oh, please. Give me a break. But that's the way our world is. And by the way, folks, a lot in our world are still like that. The one standing right beside King Herod when they took the group picture was no doubt smiling the biggest. Don't you think? And it's still true. A man is known by the company he keeps. And I want it to be known by you, my church family. I'm not concerned with what the press thinks. I'm not concerned about what Washington, D.C. thinks. I'm not concerned with what Annapolis thinks. It doesn't mean anything to me. I don't care about the applause of men, but I do care what God Almighty thinks about me. What does Jesus think? I want the recognition of God, not of men. I could care less what men say. Boy, they've said a lot. But I'm still here. All right, secondly, notice King Herod's seriousness. I got to hurry here, I'm out of time. Matthew tells us King Herod demanded of the scribes. Boy, he was serious, wasn't he? Serious business. You say, why? Because he was about to lose his kingdom in his mind. He did not understand, though, that the Lord Jesus had to live 33 and a half years on this earth. He didn't understand the Lord Jesus had to have a 3.5-year earthly ministry. He did not understand that the Lord Jesus had to call his disciples so that he had a foundation under which he could spread the gospel into the entire world. Herod didn't understand all that. Of course, none of the scribes and priests understood that either. But they didn't know where he was going to be born. And so Herod was serious about this. Why? His kingdom was being threatened. You see, Herod was a worried man when he heard the news. If you look back in verse 2, you will see that the wise men said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" And that certainly had to shake King Herod to his core. So he was very serious about this. Then thirdly, I want you to notice, and I really struggled with a word to use here, but I had to have an S word, so this is what I come up with. All right, thirdly, let's notice King Herod's stupidity. But there's no other way to say it. Notice his stupidity. Matthew says he demanded of them where Christ should be born. He didn't know. Don't you think if you're the king of a religious people, you ought to know something about their religion? One would think, but no, he didn't care. Oh, he knew how to politic. He knew how to politic, but he didn't know anything about the Bible and about the truth. He was able to curry favor with the powers that be in Rome, and they gave him a very cushy job, so you can be assured he didn't want to lose that cushy job. But he certainly did not know anything spiritually speaking. Doesn't that sound like most politicians today? Oh, they want to keep their job, but they know what to say and when to say it and to whom to say it. Doesn't mean they believe it. If they believed it, they wouldn't vote the way they do. You see, whether Democrat or Republican or independent, just about all of them have one thing in common. They know very little, if anything, about spiritual matters. On eternal matters, where the Bible is clear, what we find so often among politicians is ignorance. You see, they approve things that the Bible condemns, like homosexuality. Sit still. Like gambling. Like alcohol and marijuana. All that stuff that everybody approved. Well, it'll help education. How? Well, we need more money. Well, how much money do you need? I was down in Annapolis several years ago and got into it with one of those liberals down there. They were trying to take away trying to license our Christian schools, and nobody would stand up to it. And so Roger Solomon said, "Hey, I'm going down. Would you go with me?" I said, "Sure." So we went down and sat at a big table, and they're sitting there telling us that we need to get a license. And I said, "No, we're not getting a license." And he said, "But you have to have one." I said, "No, I don't have to have one." "Well, the law says you do." I said, "There's a law higher than the law. And I'm not taking a license from you to do what God called me to do. That's not happening." And he said, he looked at me and he said, "Well, Who's gonna protect the children?" I said, "How about parents?" There's a novel concept, isn't it? There's a novel concept. And he said, "Well, parents won't do it." And I said, "Well, I can tell you right now, parents are doing it in our school. And you're not coming into my school, so you just might as well get it out of your mind. You're not coming into my school. Case closed." "Well, we can throw you in jail. Bring it on." That's what I told him. I said, "Bring it on." I said, "I'll know when you're coming. Because Carroll County, somebody will call me and tell me you're coming. Because you got to get a warrant through somebody here. And when they call me and tell me you're coming, I'm going to lock the doors. And you're going to come and say, 'Open the door.'" And I said, "No." "Open the door." "Nope. We're going to arrest you." "Well, rip the door off and you can arrest me. And when you do, Pastor Holbrook, you're in charge and don't you let them in either." So then they'll arrest you, and then you put Ray in charge and Ray's not going to let them in. So they'll arrest Ray, and then Ray is going to put Brother Lewis in charge. And Brother Lewis is not going to let him in. And then Brother Lewis, when they chain him and carry him out to the paddy wagon, Josh is going to be in charge. And then Josh is going to say, you're not coming in. And then Pastor Brian's going to say, nope, you're not coming in here until you got all of us arrested and down at the Carroll County lockup. And then you got thousands of people going and marching around the walls of Jericho praying it falls in. If that's what you want, bring it on. But I'm not taking a license. That was 30 years ago. Still haven't taken a license. And I don't plan to. Now, if I grab my heart and fall over dead, you bring somebody else in here and that guy takes a license, whoop him. Just whoop him, all right? Mercy, what's wrong with us? Well, I don't know, folks. I'm just going to stick with the book. What do you think? All right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. Thank you for this story about the wise men coming. And we've all heard the little adage, wise men still seek him. And they certainly do. And so, Father, I pray that you will bless what's been said here today and help us just to keep our focus and keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Take
these men were so blinded by politics, and they were so blinded by the world and so blinded by power that they could not see when the eternal Son of the living God was born in Bethlehem's manger. And so, Father, I ask you to stir our hearts today. If there's someone here who's not 100% sure they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be the day when they realize their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless us now, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.